Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future with a savings plan from Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Now, should recreational drug users be able to buy their substance of choice in an off-licence style shop? Well, a Fianna Fáil TD and chair of the Justice Committee, James Lawless, has said that Ireland needs to progress towards legalising drugs in a bid to tackle the grip of drug lords on the now illegal industry. But would a move like this simply serve to legitimise harmful drug use in this country? Well, to discuss this further, I'm joined by James Lawless of Fianna Fáil and also by Professor Colin O'Gara, who's head of addiction services at St John of God's and clinical professor of psychiatry at UCD. You're both very welcome to the programme. I'll come to you, James Lawless, obviously, first of all. You're saying the war, am I right in saying that you're saying the war on drugs is not working? So what are you proposing?
Yeah, I'm saying the war on drugs is not working. It didn't work in the time of Reagan, it didn't work in the time of Nixon, and indeed the war on alcohol didn't work during Prohibition. It hasn't worked, and what I'm proposing is, I chair the Justice Committee, as you mentioned, and at the committee we had hearings last year on the current approach to drugs, particularly smaller quantities of particular substances, and we came up with 22 expert-led recommendations. And I suppose in summary, there's three strands. One is to accelerate the process of decriminalisation. So that means things like an electric picnic, drug testing so that people aren't taking toxic, potentially fatal substances. It means things like the medical cannabis programme being accelerated and rolled out. And it means a different approach being taken in policing, as we already have in the Drugs Acts, to distinguish between some drugs and other more harmful drugs and different quantities. The second strand is to consider, and this is something I hope the Citizens Assembly will take up, a model of regulation. So when I talk about regulation, at the moment I can walk onto a street corner, when I leave the studio here this evening, I can go out to pretty much any street in Dublin or Ireland, and I can walk into a bar and I can purchase a legal drug, which 87% of Irish adults enjoy. It's called alcohol. I can buy that in a premises that is licensed through the district court, that is subject to Garda checks and inspections, where every bottle on the shelf has a percentage proof written on the side of it. Mm-hmm. At least in theory, if somebody consumes too much, the barman can have a word and manage them to safety or to get a taxi for them or whatever else. But I can walk onto probably the other street corner and I can buy a substance that is either stronger or weaker or somewhere in the middle compared to what's available legally. And there's absolutely no framework, there's no balances, there's no quality control, there's no checks, there's no rules, there's no consistency.
Under regulation or legalisation, how would selling drugs work in your opinion?
Okay, so the regulatory model is one that's been employed by a number of countries. So places like Spain, Portugal, Canada, the United States now under Biden, Greece, Malta, Switzerland, just within the EU and North America, and much further afield besides. But how it could work is that you could walk into a particular vendor. That vendor would have to be approved. It would have to apply for a license. Would have to be of good standing. Mm-hmm. You could purchase a product. Perhaps it could be a cannabis joint. Perhaps it could be a cookie or, you know, something of that nature, or maybe a tea leaf, and that would have a label on it. It could have a public health warning. It could say this is potentially addictive, this could have negative implications, in the same way as tobacco or alcohol products are labelled. And it might say, you know, you might take your risk.
Well, there might be age checks. I could be meeting you in town, James, for a pint, as was traditionally, and we'd walk along the street to our pub of choice, and I'd say, James, hang on a minute there, I just have to pop in here and get some cannabis.
Exactly, in the same way as people say, I'm going to pop in and get some cigars, okay. I'm going to pop in and get some cigarettes right now.
So let me bring in Professor Colin O'Gara. What do you make of that?
I think it is not going to happen anytime soon, is what I would say in the first instance in terms of legalisation. But I think if the listeners could focus maybe on decriminalisation in the first instance, I think that is something that I do see happening relatively soon. I think it's going to be very beneficial for a whole host of people, but not least to patients and patients that I would treat. Cormac, I think it'll be very beneficial, firstly, from the point of view of harm reduction. I think we've seen from international evidence that overdoses will reduce. People will get HIV in a lot less circumstances. And the key thing for me overall with decriminalisation is that we will start to destigmatise drug use in this country. And, you know, other countries have looked at ongoing drug use and addiction as a serious medical issue. And the stereotype and unconscious bias with addiction in this country, in my view, a lot of it is around, it's quite negative and it's pejorative. Mm-hmm. And it's very much along the lines of pull your socks up. You know, this is a deficit of will. Pull yourself together. And every day we treat patients, we see the harrowing effects of drug use. And I think by destigmatizing, a true decriminalization is a very positive thing.
So in your experience then, Colin, is it more difficult to rehabilitate a patient or to make therapies effective if the patient feels like a criminal?
Absolutely. And, you know, the evidence, in my view, and the international evidence would suggest that you get improved social outcomes. So instead of criminalizing somebody who happens to be at a low ebb in their life, they may be self-medicating with substances. Mm-hmm. And to then criminalize them on top of that, in my view, serves absolutely no purpose. We should be taking a kind and a compassionate approach.
And that's decriminalization. So you outlined the benefits of it, and it seems it would be beneficial. And people can text us their thoughts to 51551. You say legalization, as outlined by Fianna Fáil TD James Lawless, who's chair of the Justice Committee as well, I'll remind people, won't happen anytime soon. But it could happen, Professor O'Gara, sooner than you think, if the chair of the Justice Committee is proposing this. What are the dangers of it then, in your opinion?
The reason I'm saying that, Cormac, is that I think we need to, you know, the Oireachtas report actually states pilot projects in terms of legalization, which I entirely agree with. I think it's an incredibly sensible approach. I think we need to do decriminalization first, get it bedded in, and then we can see where we go with legalization.
But what's the problem with legalization? So if I were to say to you, come on, let's legalize. Let's give the example that I gave there, that we're going out for a night socially and I pop in and get some cannabis. Is there a problem with that?
Of course there is, because if your listeners, I presume they have in their head at the moment that you drop down to the corner shop to get crack or heroin. Mm-hmm. So there's a hierarchy in terms of drug harm. And funnily enough, alcohol comes out on top of that, if you look at the studies of relative harm. But I think the idea of, you know, more harder drugs, to use that term, there certainly is a spectrum of harm. And you've used the examples of cannabis, but, you know, certainly I think we would have to pilot other drugs and look at the harm associated with those drugs if we're going to look at legalization.
What drugs do you have in mind, James?
Yeah, so I think it's I think Professor Garra makes excellent points there. I think it's a staggered journey, and I suppose going into the Citizens' Assembly, I think this is the right time to put our report into that mix and see where the people of Ireland through that Assembly want to go. But I think Thailand actually, I would say, got this wrong. Thailand was a country that traditionally and historically had a very strict approach to drugs, notwithstanding that drugs were openly and widely consumed there. But we've heard lots of stories of tourists going amiss. I think in Bridget Jones' diary, she spent a couple of nights in a jail cell there because she was caught with something. They went overnight from that incredibly harsh approach to fully legalising pretty much every substance. And they're actually seeing partying on the streets, but also, I suppose, vomit on the streets.
Yeah, but you're not proposing that. So what would you
legalise? We're not at all. No,
what are you proposing?
It's important to make that distinction. So a staggered journey that would have a decriminalisation model where there would be pilot schemes where certain drugs would not be criminalised. You would not be prosecuted.
Yeah, like
brought
what?
Before a judge.
So we have cannabis. What else?
Yeah, so the one thing, well, what I suppose find as an instinctive, intuitive yardstick would be drugs that occur naturally. So things like mushrooms, things like cannabis, which is a weed, perhaps something you can forage, something that grows on a tree, could be the first step to look at those things that have been
cannabis
used
and
for
mushrooms,
millennia.
And that's it.
There are, well, there's peyote if you want to, you know, go to what a Native American Indian uses. There are a number of different substances that are considered to have, probably have addictive qualities, but have been used traditionally in herbal medicine and different functions for years.
What about the dangers? What about the dangers of psychosis? And, and I'm in no position, compared to Colin O'Gara to talk about this. But I've heard other doctors warn about, especially developing minds and psychosis and the damage things like mushrooms and cannabis can do.
Yeah, and I've heard those doctors as well. And I read a recent report that said the cannabis today, particularly the block variety, is far stronger and more potent than it might have been in the past. Again, we actually don't know, because if people are purchasing this on the street, there's no quality control. There's no little label on the side that say this is 10% THC, this is 1% THC, this is 60% THC, in the way that labelling, if a model was regulated, would actually
be
applied.
We've also heard of gateway drugs as well. What if this is a gateway to harder drugs?
Absolutely. Again, that's part of the problem right now, that if you go across to a backstreet dealer and you're buying something that's a criminal act, and that dealer says to you, well, do you want a bag of cocaine along with that? Do you want a couple of pills in the mix?
Couldn't the same be said of James Lawless's cannabis shop? It could be a gateway drug.
Is the same set of a bar that sells alcohol legally across the counter? No, because there is a framework in place, and if people purchase something that's legalised, that has a whole system of checks and balances where the Gardaí, you know, sign off on the application every year, where there's a whole framework around it.
Colin McGarry, would it be the same as a bar?
What's that,
Cormac?
Would it be the same as a bar, comparing this new cannabis shop, if it were to happen, with the dangers of having a bar in the corner?
The dangers, Cormac, are absolutely clear. I mean, you know, I have treated cannabis-induced psychosis for many, many years in London. I'm acutely aware of those dangers. However, our current situation does not work in terms of regulation, in terms of supporting people and criminalising people at the moment. So I would add one more thing. If, you know, alongside decriminalisation, you have to put significant resource into services and education. And some countries have failed to do that. And we have to make sure, if we're going down this road, that we have, you know, very adequate both education and service funding.
Well, can I just finish on that and put that point to James Lawless and maybe add a little bit to it, in the sense that, is this not just defeatist? In the sense that why don't we invest in An Gcuardha Síochána properly, invest in community and social and education programs that were cut back during austerity years that cause unaccountable harm, really, to the people who are now possibly addicts of drugs? Why not invest in those services first and then see how you get on?
Yeah, well, I think if we did that, we would become rapidly an outlier in the Western world. The journey is quite clear, the trajectory in most countries. And again, to be clear, I'm not talking about legalising a free-for-all overnight in every substance. And you ask me which substances would and wouldn't be. The kind of substances that I don't anticipate for this are those artificially created, those synthetic compounds in a laboratory, crack cocaine or crystal meth or whatever.
Nobody's,
I don't ever
that.
See a situation where well, they
my
are
point
made
is,
legal.
Why not
there
invest
for
in policing and education and social and community programmes?
Well, we've done
that.
Not in pre-austerity
levels.
Well, I think you're introducing a contemporary political element to what's actually quite a profound and wide-ranging debate. So, look, let's avoid. Look, this has gone on for 100 years. Okay, this isn't an austerity phenomenon. This approach has been used in Ireland and in multiple other jurisdictions for the best part of a century. It hasn't worked. The statistics tell us it hasn't worked, and that's why it's being revisited. And what we're saying is, we're not saying this is a great thing to do. We're not advocating that everybody should go out and start consuming these substances. But what we're saying is they should be treated with a public health lens, as opposed to a Garda with a baton and a judge presiding over. And just to finish on this one, Cormac, there was a man today in court, it's in the Irish Independent reported, he suffers from bowel cancer. He had two cannabis plants in his vegetable patch out in the back garden. That man was brought before a court and received a conviction. He actually said to the judge, thank you, I'm still alive because of what I'm using today, and the pain relief that I get is huge. Now, listeners can ask themselves, should that man be before a court for his two cannabis plants in his vegetable patch out the back, or is it time to reconsider the approach we've taken?
Listeners can text us to 51551. James Lawless, Fianna Fáil TD, Chair of the Éireachtas Committee on Justice, and Professor Colin O'Gara, who's Head of Addiction Services at St John of God's, and Professor at UCD. Thank you both very much indeed.